process, and I'm sure that one of the important things that will come out of this symposium is, again, another series of questions yet to be answered. But I would hope, too, that we are going to have some answers that develop out of the discussions in the symposium.
That was Mike Harker, resource economist with the Cooperative Extension Service. And I'm Karen Sedgo, Director of Public Affairs at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, with this week's edition of University Focus. The second annual agricultural symposium gets underway this morning at 9. The two-day event is sponsored jointly by the University's Cooperative Extension Service and the State Division of Economic Enterprise. Mike Harker believes this year's symposium focus was shaped in part by last year's symposium.
The focus, really, of the symposium is going to be to ask the question and respond to the question, how do we integrate cropping and livestock production, and what kind of system do we need to support an integration of both crop production and livestock production? We have experts coming from across the nation, and actually one from Canada as well, and we're going to begin to look at this question. What does it take to integrate feed-based crop production system with a livestock system that can utilize the products from the cropping, and then to go further and ask, what do we need to do in order to market those livestock products? What do we need to do in terms of processing of those products, and how do we fit this all together into one thing that we can call a systematic modern agriculture?
According to Harker, the symposium is aimed primarily at three audiences.
Obviously, an important element is the farming community of Alaska. That's first and foremost, I believe. But I think also that the general public of the state of Alaska should have an active interest in this development process, in that it can become a very important economic element within the state. And with that kind of perspective, I think that it's important to all Alaskans. The third contingent, I am hoping that the business people, the university people, the people on the periphery of agriculture will also be there. I'm hoping that those with a direct or an indirect or almost no linkage to agriculture at all will be there, because I think that agriculture is something, as we move forward, will affect all of our lives.
By taking many of the suggestions made last year, symposium organizers believe the information that will be shared this year will be much more practical and useful to the Alaskan farmer.
In the symposium last year, there were several comments relative to desire for information that was more immediately adaptable to the farmer's particular problems that he faces today. And I think with this year's symposium, we have tried to do that. We are bringing in people that can talk specifically about what is involved in creating a livestock operation, be it a swine operation, a dairy operation, or a beef operation. We have people here, some of them that have gone through the very process of developing that kind of operation. We're then going to look also at the crop production alternatives that a farmer has here, particularly in interior Alaska, and I think that's going to be some readily usable information. Another point that was brought up in review of last year's symposium was the question of management, the question of looking at a farm in terms of a business and what kinds of challenges one has to face when he begins to look at his farm in that sense. And really, a lot of what we've done with the symposium is to gear around management, both financial management and biological management with crops and livestock.
Symposium proceedings will be published, and it's hoped that public awareness of the potential of agriculture in Alaska will be heightened.
I don't think that any of the speakers are coming up here to tell us how to do anything. I think that what the speakers are going to do is lend their expertise to look at the problem in a discussion sort of a framework, and that some conclusions will logically arise from the diversity of speakers that we have and the different perspectives they will take on things. I think that some things will fall out to be fairly evident needs for Alaskan agriculture, and I think those will become clear in a lot of people's minds as the symposium progresses.
Another busy week is ahead. The agricultural symposium begins at 9 today and continues Saturday in the Wood Center Ballroom. The Festival of Native Arts winds up its week-long celebration tonight in the Fine Arts Concert Hall from 7 to 11. Sunday at 4, the UA Big Band will perform a jazz concert in the concert hall. Thursday, the 20th, a student recital is scheduled at 1, and there will be a chamber music recital at 8 in the evening. Movies to be held on campus in the Seidel Auditorium this weekend include The Sting and Young Frankenstein. The annual Pops concert is coming up Saturday, March 22nd, and a French film festival will be held March 25th through the 28th. And the university has learned that its rifle team is ranked in the top 10 nationally and will be headed to Tennessee for the NCAA National Championship. I'm Karen Sedgwick, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research face tomorrow today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.
It is a technology that focuses on making small blades off of nodules, which are shaped into a kind of wedge-shaped object from which these small blades are struck. In essence, that's the technology involved. But of course, that's only one small aspect of culture, and so a very wide area and many, many people could share in a similar technology and be basically unrelated.
That was Dr. Jean Agner, Professor of Anthropology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I'm Karen Sedgo, Director of Public Affairs, with this week's edition of University Focus. Anthropologist Jean Agner has received a travel grant to visit the People's Republic of China, a country whose early archaeological remains are of keen interest to her. She recently completed a book that is based on materials gathered by Chinese archaeological teams, and her publisher wanted Agner to examine the sites discussed in the book.
Well, one area that I've been particularly interested in is the far northern part of the country, above 40 degrees, where they are reporting materials 100 to 200,000 years old, which is considerably further north than they had been finding materials of that antiquity before. So I'm interested in that particular area geographically. And then the second batch of materials of interest are also from the north, more to the east, where there seems to be the development of a kind of technological tradition which heretofore we thought was confined to Inner Mongolia, Mongolia, and Southern Siberia. But it seems to also be part of the development taking place through the south in China. And of interest, some of the materials produced look remarkably like early Alaskan things.
Although adaptations of this tool-making technology may not necessarily be the same, according to Agner, it is significant that parallels exist between Northeast China and Alaska.
But interestingly, they shared input techniques which also crop up in the Middle Holocene period in Alaska. That's the period from maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years ago to 8,000 or 9,000 years ago. And they may have more antiquity than that. Interestingly, in China as well as in Siberia, the time depth for these techniques of making small blades and nicely shaped cores is on the order of 25,000 to 35,000 years in both areas now. That's the first kind of continuity between the two areas is in this technique. Now, the second interest in China in terms of New World origins is the view which has been espoused by some for many, many years, that perhaps people did enter the New World many thousands of years ago, many more than 10 or 20,000 years ago. And if so, then the likely ultimate source area would be North China.
Excited about her upcoming trip, which is a first to China for her, Agner is immersed in plans and study.
In order to gear up and be able to read road signs and say hello and goodbye to people, I'm thinking taking a course in Chinese, which is being taught at the university this year.
Originally, Agner thought the trip could be scheduled for May or June, but says travel to China isn't arranged as simply as one might think, and it might be September before her plans will be finalized.
The Chinese Tourist Bureau, like the Soviet Union Tourist Bureau to some extent, is having trouble dealing with individual travelers. They are much more set up to deal with large groups of people on tours and find housing for them. So my understanding is that the big stumbling block for a single traveler is to travel at a time when there's adequate housing available and to produce an itinerary that then cannot be changed, so that once you're locked into going to a particular place on a particular day and staying in a particular hotel which they assign, then you must do that. There isn't any way of altering the system.
Music, movies, and shoes fill this week's calendar. The University Fairbanks Symphony is holding its annual fundraising Pops concert tonight and Saturday night at 8:15 at the Alaskaland Civic Center. The 14th annual 20-kilometer skiathon is scheduled for Saturday. You can still register at 8 tomorrow morning in the Patty Gym. The movie to be held in the Fine Arts Concert Hall this weekend at 6:40 p.m. is Manhattan. And a festival of French films begins Tuesday night in Dufferin 317. There will be a different French film shown each night at the same time and same place. Subtitles will be in English. There will be a student recital Thursday night at 8 in the Fine Arts Concert Hall. Watercolors by Jim Belfi are on display at Wood Center through March 31st, and the UAF Art Gallery is displaying an exhibit by Lisa Salisbury and Bill Tuttle. A student drama production, The Thurber Carnival, will be held next Friday and Saturday. I'm Karen Sedgwick, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research face tomorrow today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.
I think it's being to arrive again as a facilitator, working with faculties of departments, trying to help them and interpret them to the central administration of the university, trying to interpret what the goals of the university are back to faculties and see how best these can be implemented without losing sight of what the faculties want. Someone once said a dean is a hand.
That was Dr. Mary Elizabeth Shuttler, the first woman dean of the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I'm Karen Sedgwick, Director of Public Affairs, with this week's edition of University Focus. Dr. Shuttler will assume the duties of her new post in September. She spent this past week visiting the Fairbanks campus and getting acquainted with many of our personnel. Dr. Shuttler is an anthropologist who has most recently headed the Department of Anthropology at Washington State University. She is unable to join UAF until fall because of a commitment to work, as in past summers, at an archaeological site in Israel.
Since 1976, a group of us called the Lahav Research Project have been excavating at Tel Halif in the southern part of Israel. We represent a group of archaeologists of somewhat different training and interests. We're trying to pool our assorted expertise in this joint project. We represent a number of different universities, Emory University of Nebraska, Lake Forest College, different places that we come from, and we get together during the summer and dig in the tail, and then the analysis is divided up between us, and we're doing different projects. Have a number of students, graduate students from these different universities and from other universities working on part of the material, thesis, certification.
Impressed by the friendliness and informality of the UAF campus, Dr. Shuttler offered her impressions of the university.
It's new. Everything seems all bright and shiny. There's an attitude of looking toward the future instead of looking back that I find very stimulating and a good attitude.
Dr. Shuttler said she has no plans for the College of Arts and Sciences and will make none until she has been here for a while as dean. She feels her experience as head of a varied department of anthropology at Washington State will be helpful in managing arts and sciences, and she wants to accomplish what the faculty of the college would like to achieve.
I think first seeing what the departments are doing now and how they perceive themselves and their roles, and each department does have different kinds of things to contribute in terms of teaching and creative activities, including research and service kinds of activities. And certainly I would want to build on existing strengths rather than to say, you know, stop whatever it is that you're doing and do something different. This would be, I think, very foolish. But I would hope to be able to work with what
is already there, and to be able to do whatever I could to allow people to proceed in the direction they're going and improve on the base they already have.
Everyone generally has some reason for coming or wanting to come to Alaska, and Dr. Shuttler has her own.
It's sort of frontier and old west and pioneer, and my family had been moving west since 1635, and it's hard to know where else to go. It's a growing place. It's not static. It's therefore, I think, very exciting, and I like to be part of that.
The French Film Festival continues through the weekend. Movies are shown at 7:30 p.m. in the Duckling Building, room 317. You can also see Taxi Driver and Animal Crackers at 6:40 Friday and Saturday nights in Tribal Auditorium. A student production, the Thurber Carnival, will be presented tonight and Saturday at 8:15 in the Fine Arts Theater. A roast for symphony conductor Gordon Wright will be held Saturday night. And if the sun continues to shine all week, students and faculty will truly have an enjoyable spring break. I'm Karen Sedgo, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education research face tomorrow, today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.
I think they're going to get their minds worth. I really do, and I think it's going to be an exciting time, something that we're really looking forward to. Although what we're thinking is, in the past, that our seniors have been so active that we wonder whether we'll be able to keep up with the group.
That was Michelle Bartlett, Dean of the TVCC Community Services Program. And I'm Karen Sedgo, Director of Public Affairs at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, with this week's edition of University Focus. Michelle Bartlett was recently selected as the Person of the Year from her region by the National Council on Community Services and Continuing Education. Bartlett was judged to have made a significant contribution to the field of community services and continuing education. Always ready to try a new program, Bartlett is looking forward to Alaska's first elder hostel program to be held this summer.
What is an elder hostel? Elder hostel is a program that started out of Massachusetts, which was to provide summer learning experiences for people over 60 on college campuses throughout the nation. And I think it's going in over 700 colleges around the country where seniors, people who are 60 years of age or older, come to campus, live for a one-week period of time, and while they're on campus, take active part in campus life. The host institution has to provide room and board and 3 non-credit classes that will happen during the week while they're on campus.
45 seniors from throughout the United States will be coming to the UAF campus this summer.
We've always been interested in it because Fairbanks, or the Tenor Valley Community College, is the only post-secondary institution in the state of Alaska that has a program specifically designed for senior citizens. Okay, so it seems natural that if any place in Alaska would take part in it, Tenor Valley Community College would have it. And we've been looking around the country soliciting information about it, and we finally got in touch with the right people, and because there's housing available on the Fairbanks campus, it really is the only campus in the whole statewide university system that could accommodate a program like that, because you have to provide room and board.
Since this is a trial program this year, only 1 week session is being held, the week of July 20th.
The reason we chose that week is that's the Golden Days week, and there's so much activity happening in Fairbanks, we thought that that would be a perfect opportunity to show off Fairbanks and the university campus.
The 3 non-credit courses being offered to participants focus on Alaska, on natural, says Bartlett.
We chose things that were indigenous to Alaska because we felt that people were coming to Alaska because they wanted to find out more about it. So there are going to be 3 non-credit courses going on. One of them is on herb craft, but talking about the flora of Alaska, and Dr. Eleanor Barrett is going to be teaching that course. And there's going to be a lot of field work in there, getting out and seeing the plants and flowers, and also making lotions and balms that we can make from them, which we think is going to be an exciting thing. Roger McPherson is going to be teaching a course on Native peoples of interior Alaska, finding out about people that were indigenous to this region.
And Dr. Earl Bystone is going to be teaching a course on mining. You know, everybody thinks Alaska has gold and oil, and he, of all people, will know about how we take it out, and there'll be some field trips involved in it, and I think they're going to be very excited about the kind of instruction they're going to be receiving. In addition to that, we're planning evening programs, okay? So, for example, Dr. Bill Cashman is going to be talking about the history of the university campus, and there are other local people we're trying to line up talking about Fairbanks and what makes us special.
Spring break has ended and activity has intensified on campus as the semester nears its end. The Deer Hunter will be shown both tonight and Saturday at 6:40 in the Fine Arts Concert Hall. The University Choir and Band join forces for a final major concert of the year on Sunday, April 13th at 4 p.m. in the Fine Arts Concert Hall. Tickets go on sale for The Miracle Worker, the UA Drama Workshop's final play of the year, on Monday, April 14th. The first performance is April 18th. And everyone is invited to visit the campus on the 18th for University Day. I'm Karen Sedgwick, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research face tomorrow today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.
All 3,000 of us will be playing our natural roles. We will be acting as ourselves, and that will be important for the high school students visiting to see. I will be greeting students arriving here for registration, as will a number of other students, and in that way we can help them and speak to them individually about what it's like to be on campus.
That was Lori Barisade, a freshman at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I'm Karen Sedgwick, Public Affairs Director, with this week's edition of University Focus. It's University Day today, and already the campus is buzzing with activity as high school students from all around the state arrive to register for the day-long event. UAF Admissions Counselor Sally Taylor explains what University Day is all about.
University Day is one of our largest recruiting events. It is a time that we invite high school juniors and seniors to come to the campus and look us over, visit our classes, talk with our students, our faculty, tour the various facilities, just get a feel for what it would be like to go to college at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
What do you hope to accomplish by having an all-day get-to-know-us affair?
Well, we hope to give students a chance to see some of the differences between high school and college. We hope to give students a chance to see what the University of Alaska Fairbanks really is like academically and socially. We hope that they will have a chance to see the various kinds of students that attend school here. We also would like to invite people from the community to come up and look us over. All the academic departments will be having booths and exhibits in the ballroom and Wood Center. And this is not just for high school students, it's for adults also.
Lori Barisade attended University Day while a student at West Valley High School.
Anticipation of University Day was high down at the high school. It had rather the air of the carnival about it, and we were all looking forward to spending the day up here on campus. When I arrived, we had to wait in line for registration, and from then on it very closely paralleled the experience I had coming up here to the university in September of this year. I visited classes, and I found that rather interesting to actually see a demonstration lab and a chemistry course. I did tour all the exhibits and the booths and had my picture taken with Darth Vader. But I was also, as well as the enjoyable activities, I really was introduced to what it would be like to live on campus and to experience what the day-to-day activities, heading down to the commons, walking all the way over back to a class that would be held across campus. All these were important experiences, and I learned much on that one day here on campus.
In addition to visiting the academic classes, the students will have an opportunity to tour many of the facilities on this campus, from the Computer Center, KUAC, Library, and Wood Center on the lower campus, to the Institute of Marine Science, Geophysical Institute, Greenhouse, and Farm on the West Ridge. Mind-boggling, according to Taylor, is the number of high school students who have pre-registered for University Day.
At the last count, we had 700 who had pre-registered, and we're almost overwhelmed with this because it's the largest number we've ever had when University Day is held as an independent experience separated from the music festival. We anticipate there'll probably be maybe around 50, somewhere between 50 to 100 also attend that have not pre-registered. They will be able to register on site.
Not only is it University Day today, but it is also the opening of The Miracle Worker, the UA Drama Workshop's final production of the year. Performances tonight and Saturday begin at 8:15 in the Fine Arts Theater. Movies this weekend include Foul Play and Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex. The Choir of the North will perform Sunday at 4 in the Fine Arts Concert Hall. On Tuesday at noon in Eielson Room 111, the movie The Amish, A People of Preservation, will be shown. John Hostetler from Temple University, who screened the film for authenticity, will be present. Finally, Jazz Festival 80 gets underway Monday and continues with workshops and concerts scheduled through Saturday. I'm Sharon Sedgell, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research face tomorrow, today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.